Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody.
You have led me to the sadness.
We are having technical difficulties tonight on your place, but we are certainly glad to have you here. My son's trying to work things out so we can... Oh, good. Blog Talk Mom, just so you know, your microphone is open. He's managed to do that, so if we're that far down the line, we'll be doing pretty good. This is just one more thing on a very unusual week. I think it's the most unusual week I've ever had in my entire life, and I know from talking to Blog Talk Mom earlier in the day that she's kind of having the same experience, so maybe we'll hear from some of you, and you'll decide to press one and join our conversation. Don't take that away. I need to look at that. My son's disappearing with the switchboard. You can use my computer if you need to. Sorry. So maybe everybody, maybe there's just something stirring going on in the air and everybody's had a very unusual week. I know my husband has because for the first time in 26 years, he's visiting his family in Iran. So that has to be definitely a paradigm shifter. Mama, I'm nervous to know that I can actually hear you after all of this adrenaline rush I've had in the last 5 minutes. Are you there?
I am here. I hope you can hear me. And it wasn't all that late in getting started. And we appreciate Kevin for being so brilliant. Isn't that right?
Well, exactly. My computer was just blocking it out, and it would say remove the blocks. I would remove the blocks, and it wouldn't do it. But, yep, his is working, and then he's being generous to let us use his computer.
Well, that's wonderful.
Because then, Kevin, if anybody presses 1, a little hand will come up beside their number, and it means that they want to come online. All right, so, Josie, I know we had a couple of different directions that we were going to go. Do you want to jump right into the smile, or we can talk about the different...
It has been a very unusual week, and, of course, if you could talk to anybody in Japan, no matter what we've gone through, we'd probably, you know, fade away, and by comparison, I can't comprehend what those people must be going through, and hopefully... We really will have confidence that our prayers will do something. And I know there are so many organizations and churches and people doing the best that they can, but it's just incomprehensible that the things that those people are going through. So I saw one little insert on the computer how they had this little miracle baby, one little baby had been saved. And God is a miracle worker, and we don't understand how things can go wrong. This week, last week when we talked about prayer, and I had read somewhere, if prayer is all of the wonderful things that we say it is, and if it's, you know, the presence of God, then why do we have such a struggle to do it? You know, why is there such a, and I'm not saying that it's always that way, but it is a different way. It is a absolute choice to shut out the world and to pray. And as we talked about last week, there's different levels of prayer. There's that prayer where we do shut ourselves in completely with God, and then there's that awareness that we are in communion with God at all times and connected to His love and His mercy and His grace. And there was just a couple of things that I wanted to mention about patterns. We're going to talk a little bit about patterns, about a pattern of prayer that's very simple. And it sometimes when you have a hard time focusing or you just need to have some type of pattern, what we're going to talk about, the smile, is very simple. But the greatest pattern that was ever given was given by Jesus Christ Himself when the disciples came to Him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And in that portion of Scripture found in Matthew, in those few verses, you can find everything you need to pray for just a few minutes or for hours and hours and hours. Just the very first word, Our Father, which meaning the source of all things. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ, our God, our Father, is the Father or source of whatever we need, then it would only stand to reason that we would go to him immediately with everything and pray and believe that he will be there for us. But we'll talk about some things like the smile and joy.
I like what you said, because the intention for these 4 weeks, or my intention, is that we give people tools that they can use. Because, yeah, we all do know that prayer works and that your day goes better if you pray, but then somehow you get off of that track, just like exercise and a lot of other things that we know are good for us, but somehow they keep getting on the list for tomorrow sometimes. So the smile thing will give people something that might pop in their mind to remind them to pray and remind them of some easy concepts that will help them down that path.
That is so true. Now, on this, before I go to that, again to mention, when Jesus gave them that pattern of prayer, we usually say that's the Lord's Prayer. Well, actually, Jesus prayed on a level that we would just aspire to pray all night long. You know, he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood in one area of prayer. So, and he was astonished when his disciples, when he said, could you not just watch with me 1 hour? You know, so, I mean, this is just a pattern. And what we're going to do today, it's really helped me, and it's easy to remember because I use the hand. As I mentioned before, we use, in teaching children, a lot of times we use the hand, the thumb, and four fingers. So if you start with
it's handily right there to be a good tool to remember something, because it's right there at the end of your arm.
It sure is. And, you know, sometimes I've been sitting in an office or I've been waiting somewhere, and, of course, no one knows what I'm doing, but I will take that pattern and I'll start with, the first level of it, to just wake up in the morning and smile at God, to smile at him and tell him you love him and that you appreciate him bringing you through the night. And I might add that I was a little bit aggravated the other day because I didn't know it was going to rain. I had no idea it was going to rain. And I had a lot I needed to get done, and it was going to have to be sort of out in the rain or outside. And I came in, and just all of a sudden, it started raining, and I mean really raining. And I put my hand on the door, the back door, and the door began to just move in and out. And I looked, the furniture is moving, a huge tree behind my house blows over, huge oak tree looked like. And I found out later that if I had left just a few minutes earlier before that happened, trees were falling across the road, and I would have been right in the middle of that. Hopefully not, I wouldn't have been struck by a tree. But sometimes when we think that something is going against us, it's a test. It's a test to see that if when it's going against us, if we can still believe and still trust and still know that God is in control. He knows what we're going to do. He knew it was going to rain. He knew how grumpy I was going to be. You know, he knows all these things. But I didn't know. And as I worked through that day, I realized how out of focus I was. And prayer is, as far as I'm concerned, prayer, reading the Word of God, is the only way that we can get that connection, so that we can have the right attitude, and that when the test is over, we don't have to fast for 3 days to try to fix all the messes we've made. A great teacher.
And if you're in a prayerful attitude, you won't be railing and resisting as things come. You'll be taking them as they come, that God is in control. I know you and I, sometimes when we're having conversations, we'll say, well, God probably knows, or somehow we'll word things in a way like we don't really think that he is in control, but we know that he is. So just remember that no matter what you're looking at, he is in control. I think I interrupted you.
Oh, no, that's good. And the opposition that we feel that keeps us, as I mentioned when we first started, that keeps you from praying, you know it's right, you know it's good, you know it's all of those things, but yet you go ahead and get on the phone and talk to somebody about something else, or you get on the computer, or you pick up a book that's not even about the lesson you're on. a good book, but still you get diverted or distracted. And you push through that, that's the obstacle, that's the test. You know, God could just every time just, you just feel the Spirit of God like you do. You can be in the car and hear a song, and you're just right there in the presence of God. But that's not always the case. And I think the greater the opposition, the greater the need is for us to go on and push through that. And I've read several books lately on prayer since we're on this subject, and they all agree that there should be a time that you set aside an appointment, an actual appointment you make with God, and give it priority. You know, make it
really. I like that.
It is very good. And, of course, all of them said like 5:30 in the morning, and I closed.
Uh-oh. He won't recognize me.
That's what I heard. And I haven't done that before, but it is very, very difficult for me to get up early in the morning. But it's an excellent thing to do before you start your day instead of waiting until you've already got, you know, your course set. Spend time with the Lord and let Him set your course. You know, give you that direction. Go before you. And like we said, He knows what's going to happen, but we don't. So it would really behoove us to spend time with Him. And now what were you saying? Because I'm going to look on this paper. Oh, yeah, this is a test. Did you get that when I sent it to you?
I don't know. Let me check. If I lose you, just keep talking.
Well, I don't think I'm
going to. The last time I checked, it wasn't there, but that's been like 20 minutes now.
This is a very long, we'll probably get to it another day, but it's talking about a test. This is from the AISH.com, which is one of my favorite. I recommend it. It's the Jewish website, and they talk about when the test is there, just like with Abraham and his son, when you don't pass the test, then you miss the blessing. And the blessing is there. But by failing to obey God and being in tune with Him and having that discipline with Him, then you miss the blessing. But it's really, indirectly, it's your choice. Or directly, I don't know. But we're going to get to that next week. We're going to sort of break it down when we have more time. But for now, let's talk about the smile. You wake up in the morning, and you decide that you're going to smile at God no matter what. You're going to give Him a big smile, and you're telling Him you love Him and that you appreciate Him for bringing you through the night.
Mama,
yes.
I interrupt you to say that I do have it now.
Okay.
If you want to do that, but if you want to go on.
We'll go on with the smile, and then
sort
of go back to it. Okay. Now,
what you're saying right there is it is good to just at least to some level start your day that way, because then you're thinking right. You're starting right out, not being in resistance to traffic or whatever is going on in your morning. If while you're still in bed, I think, you just start right off with that smile and thanking God for bringing you through the night, then you're already light years ahead on your day.
That's right. Because like we talked about last week, thank you is a prayer. It's a powerful prayer. And Psalms 92:1-2 says, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. So every morning to declare to Him His loving kindness, not to take it for granted. And Psalms 3:5 says, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. And I think that's really a beautiful thought, that He sustained us through the night, watched over and protected us. The second level, though, is what we're going to take time with right now, and to go ahead and to really thank Him using the alphabet for who He is. And we thank Him for what He gives us, what we receive from Him, but to stop and thank Him for who He is. And we're going to start with the alphabet, with A. And will you read the first one, Dorvales?
I will, and let's give our listeners a little heads up that you can be thinking about this level if there's something you want to praise God for. Just give a testimony for something that he's done for you, then this would be a great time for you to think of that. You can press 1, and after we get through the alphabet, we will bring you on, and you can praise him. And again, Mama, I'd like to say that the alphabet thing, in addition to the hand and the smile and all these tools, it's just that's an easy thing. If your mind is just kind of going blank, which I don't think anybody's would be, on thinking of something good that God did, but they can just think, okay, let me think of something that starts with A. And our first one is awesome. And this is going to make you want to sing a song if you've heard Our God is an Awesome God. But our God is indeed an awesome God. You only need to look at nature to feel the awesomeness of his power. The rising of the sun and the setting of the same, the moon and the stars, the high mountains that seem to go forever into the clouds, the deepest valleys, waterfalls, rainbows, oceans, lakes, fish, and all sea creatures of different hues and sizes, plants and animals. Even the psalmist recognizes the beauty in nature when he says in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." In Psalms 8, he gives a vivid description of his works. Most important, however, are we human beings, the creations of his hands, to whom he has given dominion over all the works of his hands, we that are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even as advanced as science is, no man has been able to create another man from scratch. That makes me laugh. Cloning is not the same thing. Man still needs some help from God. That shows what an awesome God we serve. I think you should tell your story, your little joke about making
really
a man from scratch.
I'm not all that good, but I'll try that. Actually, Wild Bill, who's not with us tonight, and this is his program, and I might say...
I didn't even say anything about that.
God is awesome to have given Joy Bell the desire to do this program. And then Wild Bill got involved with it, I guess, 2 years now. And we all live in different states, and it's been a wonderful opportunity for us to fellowship and talk about the Lord, which brings blessing to our life. Joel Bell, you did a great thing when you thought this up, and I do appreciate it very much. And the little story is about the scientist that had a little standoff with God in a hypothetical situation. And says, I can make a man, and I can make it just as good as you can, talking to God. So he gets ready, and so there's God, and there's the man, and the man says, okay, bring me some dirt. And God says, no, you get your own dirt. And
you make your own dirt.
I think that we're going to, even so many stories in evolution, something had to start something. To say that nothing started something, it's a lack of just intelligence, So there's many theories. We won't go into that. But God is awesome. He is almighty. This is one name of our God, and he himself declares as his name in Genesis 17, verse 11. In Genesis 35, verse 11, he says, I am the almighty God. Some dictionaries tell us that the word almighty means having absolute power over all, relatively unlimited in power, great in magnitude or seriousness. All these describe our God, but they do not even do justice in describing him. He has been there before the world was created. He holds us human beings subject to his will. He can do or undo. He opens doors and no man can shut, and shuts doors that no man can open. You cannot question him for what he does, because he can do whatsoever he pleases. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He declared in Revelation 1, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. We might also add Isaiah 9 and 6, where a son is born, a child is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He is the Almighty God. And we know that Christ, I quoted that and murdered it, but I can look it up in a minute. But this is also a tremendous revelation of who Jesus is. And to dwell on that and to let that become real to us is builds our faith. And when our faith, when you think of these things, you read these scriptures, then the fear that would come against us and the opposition has to go back, because our faith rises to the occasion through the Word of God. And Joel Bells, how about you doing the letter B?
All right. And everybody, I'm going to remind you again, the show's almost halfway over. I want to see some hands raised if you've got something you want to praise God for. Bountiful. We serve a bountiful God. The storehouses of our God are filled with his treasures that he wants to bless us with. However, some of the reasons we don't have is either because we don't ask or because of sin. If only we can catch a glimpse of the bounties which our God has in store for us. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, the NIV version, I'm surprised at that, Josie, the Bible says, "The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the works of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none." That's not America. Jeremiah 28, verse 14, "I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, says the Lord."
Now, in this particular scripture, when God speaks to Israel and he tells them who he is, it is contingent upon their obedience. Anything that we do contrary to God, it is not greasy, grace, and sloppy agape. God is God. He gives the rules, the boundaries that we're to go by, and then he is not short in any way to be able to supply our needs. I had a list of promises, and I think it would be really good for you to put a list of promises in your Bible of the things that God has promised that he'll do for us, and dwell on these things and pray these things. Part of your prayer is be led to a scripture and begin to pray those scriptures to the Lord, not to remind him and say, well, you know, bless God, you know, you've done told me. No, but to say, Lord, I believe this is your word. You have said that you will do these things. If I ask, I'm going to receive. If I seek, I'm going to find. And if I knock, it will be opened unto me, Lord. That's my contract. That's my covenant with you, Lord. I believe these things. I trust you, Lord. I exalt you, O God, in your word. And then that brings faith, again, as I was speaking about a while ago. He is a bountiful God. He's a beautiful God. Doorbell, will you read that one?
I will. Let me say something about that, what you just said. I read something the other day along that line. You know, I'll say it since everyone else isn't privy to our conversations, but we've been talking about the fact that even though you use these tools, and there's still going to be really hard things to go through, and the tests that you've been talking about, we still have that to deal with. But sometimes you might fall into a trap of saying, well, reality is bad. You know, I'm not going to try to pretend that reality is good when reality is bad. But that's when those promises come in, because that's reality.
Oh, that's
And so
good.
To bring yourself or back around to what the actual reality is, you might be going through a storm, you might be going through a test, but those promises are still reality.
Well, I want to mention, before you get into beautiful, here's some just that I have. Then there are, I think it's NIV. I'm sorry, the printout says I can choose King James, and sometimes I forget to do that. But Psalms 99 says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." Now that one verse, when you get that before God, and you're feeling oppressed, and you feel like your finances that are you can't break through the financial barrier, or there's trouble in your home, or there's sickness, or whatever. But the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. Lord, I'm going to lean on you. It begins to open up the spirit, and the spirit begins to pray. And it's a whole different realm when you begin to pray. Hopefully next week I want to talk to or share with you about D.L. Moody, who is one of my favorite people, the Moody Bible Institute. He has so many wonderful sermons and things to share that I just want to bring that in, because so many are about prayer. But anyway, when anybody tried to come to him with a story, not like Joel Bells just said, not this name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. It wasn't that kind of thing. It wasn't trying to make a confession that was contrary to what truth was. But he knew what God had said. And he would tell him, he said, now, wait a minute. We're going to go with what God has said. And on one incident, he needed $20,000, I think it was, for his school. And it just was an impossible situation, and people were telling him it was, and he said, "No, wait a minute, I don't want to hear what you've got to say." And he went out, I think it was R.A. Torrey here, which is another tremendous story. They went out and they began to pray. Torrey tells the story about the prayer. He said, "You think that D.L. Moody could preach? You should have heard him pray." When he began to pray the word of God and pray the promises of God, when they got back to the school, the money was on its way. I mean, God
wow.
is God. And like in Deuteronomy, it says, all wealth comes from the Lord. And I'd like to share something right here. I was put in charge of a fundraiser. And I stressed this fundraiser. I tried everything in Sister Lively's power to make it work. And at the time that it was sort of coming to a close, we had less money than we did when we started. Yeah, I don't know why I think I'm laughing. The end of the story gets better. But almost the last hour before we needed the money, the very last 60 minutes, it went from being way in the hole to over $5,000. Now, that's my testimony. Not about the power of God. He is my refuge. And then I heard today from someone that God had laid on their heart to give a large amount to this situation and twice as much. So I tell you, you just can't lose with the stuff we use. So let's go ahead.
Well, speaking of that, that reminds me of Sister Kaiser. We have somebody with their hand raised wanting to do a little praising, and I think it's probably her. She has a Tennessee number, doesn't she? Let's see if this is you, Sister Kaiser. Is that you, Sister Kaiser?
Well, that is me. That's where I plugged in. I was driving in North Arkansas, and there's no place it stops, so I finally wheeled in here to a McDonald's. I'm in their parking lot. Thank God they're open all night. Can't run me off. But
we appreciate you calling.
Oh, well, thank you. I was rejoicing to hear all the scripture you guys were reading, but then Sister Lively's testimony, I know, the last time I talked to her about that thing, it was depression. What's that going to happen? It ain't coming to pass. I'm in trouble. Well, praise God.
A little bit of annoyance.
Yes.
I've been hearing a good report from you, Sister Kaiser. Josie was talking about how great things went on your mission trip.
Oh, yes, kind of double work because the lady that founded the college and the Bible school, she took sick like 3 days after I arrived and couldn't even, she lost her voice. So I had to finish doing all of her teaching. The thing is, I still got things on the floor with a tarpaulin over it, and so I don't have all of my studies. And I just had, like, for 2 weeks. And I forgot that we had a conference to go after that, had the graduation. Then we have another meeting. Anyway, I had to finish her Bible school teaching, her day sessions and evening sessions, and then I had to do every bit of it, or even on, like, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. I mean, no time off. But in the midst of that, there was great deliverance. There was a wonderful move of the Lord. These people still don't have a lot to eat. They may eat their same diet, you know, like every day. Because of the situation, they can't grow anything. And, you know, I want to share this, though. As I was leaving Chicago, O'Hare Airport, I had one item too many. And I had a little suitcase, another dress suit bag. Anyway, they told me, they said, you have to run to get to the gate because the plane only flies out of Winnipeg once a day. If you miss your flight, they didn't know why they scheduled, the airline people scheduled them that close. So I'm just about dragging by now. And I mean, O'Hare Airport is phenomenally large, and you got two terminals. Terminal 1, you land and you come into Terminal 1, you have to go all across the whole building to go to Terminal 2, just a big thing. And suddenly this guy behind me reached around, he said, "Ma'am, would you need some help?" And I said, "Sure, please." I didn't even turn around because I was trying to get on that walk bridge to get to that plane. And all of a sudden, my luggage was right there. And when I was on solid turf, you know, I turned to thank him. I said, "Thank you." And there wasn't anyone there. And I had the most weird feeling. I never saw his face. I just saw the arm and heard the voice. I told your mother, I said, well, I don't think that's ever happened just like that to me. Of course, I've heard many, many missionaries have tell, you know, tell stories like that, but nothing like that has ever happened to me. But when I finally got set down on that plane, I thought, Lord, I don't know who that was, but I sure thank you. I sure needed some help. And got on that plane in time and didn't have to overnight and got there, got to my scheduled place in time. The Lord's always on time, even though it's just arriving when you think it's not. I heard that little disappointment in her voice yesterday. She said, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. So when you took your hands off of it, Sister Live, look what God can do, huh?
She did all that she could do to stand, and she stood there for her, right, Josie? How's that for rewording a scripture?
And I did sincerely try to let it go, but that's easier said than done. You know, and I really believe that the whole thing was a test. I think.
But actually, you don't just start with letting go. I mean, you let go of the, I guess that's what y'all are saying. You let go of the final outcome, but you still do everything you can do.
Well, sure.
That's
and she did. She did.
Yeah,
I mean,
she did.
She was almost weeping and crying about it. I don't know.
I'm on mute, you Sister Kaiser, if you don't quit talking mean to Josie. She worked hard, didn't you, Josie?
Hey, let me tell you what. She worked hard, but the whole thing is God showed her, hey, Sister Bobby Lively, if you'll just step back, I'll step up. How about that?
Well, that's easy for
you
to say.
Still feeling the urge to mute you.
You were about as worried as I was. I think everyone.
I want her to reach her goal.
I want God to be honored, and I want His will to be done, and I believe it was, and it's still going to be. And I learned. I don't know how I learned things, but what I did, what I am realizing that through this, I am reaping a tremendous benefit within myself about some other things, and that's what it's all about. When God brings us to it, He brings us through it, and when we learn the lesson, then He's glorified and we're blessed. So you just can't lose. But it is, you know, the Bible says, think it not strange when this fiery trial comes
right
upon you. You know, maybe may not be that trial to you, but it was designed for you. There's a time and place and whatever. But I want to share something. Back to D.L. Moody. He was, if anybody wants to read a tremendous biography, I highly recommend his. But there was a song that they used a lot when I was younger. Any revival, almost any place that there was a revival or evangelistic altar service, you would hear this song. And it was written by a man that was Will Thompson. And this man had written a lot of different songs. They were just songs. They weren't Christian songs. And he had tried to sell them. And he was just insulted by what they wanted to give him. So he started his own tour, singing his own songs, playing a guitar, and he became very, very wealthy. And when he saw the blessings of God on what he did, he consecrated that he would never sing another song that was not Christian or write any more songs. And he became extremely famous as far as his works. I never have heard his name. But he wanted to see D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody was at the end of his life. He was actually dying. And everybody wanted to see him, but he went to where he was, like Mr. Thompson did. And when D.L. Moody heard that it was him, he asked that they let him come to his bedside. And this is what was written in the book. It said, in the late 1890s, Mr. Thompson paid a visit to evangelist D.L. Moody, who was very ill and near death. Most visitors had been turned away, but when Moody heard that Thompson was downstairs, he called for him. Will, he said, I would rather have written softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, than anything I have been able to do in my entire life and ministry. And I can remember myself going to revivals and being so estranged from God, my life was just broken. And hearing these words, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. And the chorus says, come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. What a beautiful thought that when we go to prayer and when we get before God and we begin to smile and we begin to tell him that we love him and appreciate him, to know that he's right there saying, come into my presence. Why? I love you and I desire to have this time of intimacy with you. I love it. So I love that story. And we did. We have some more of the letters. I've used this alphabet. If you're traveling, you can use it with children. You can let go through the alphabet and let them give you a word that they say describes God. And then use that word in a testimony. And what, Jorbel, what's the next one?
Well, wait a minute. We've got, and Sister Kaiser, if you think of something else that you want to add, you're going to have to press 1 twice because I closed your mic because I opened the mic of someone in the 618 area code 8089. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's me, Preston.
Well, hello, you, Preston. How are you doing?
Okay.
I really appreciate you calling in. We wonder about you and pray for you and think about you.
Thank you. I have a question. Like, if a person keeps on doing bad stuff, if they want to change, can God change them?
That's for you, Josie.
I'd like to say something that we could open this up, but One of the things that people need to realize when they come to God, they're born again, they're baptized in the same, they're washed, the blood is applied. That is a done deal. Now, like I said, I don't believe that you get in a situation you can't shoot your way out of heaven. But if you're trying to earn your way by being good, you're almost doomed to fail. But if you're built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and what he has done, when you lift your eyes to the cross, to the sacrifice that Christ did for you, then that's a done deal. That's done. This other, you build, the Bible says that you build on the rock, Christ Jesus. You build everything you do. If it's wrong and you stumble and you fall, you go to the rock. And you pour out your heart, and you go to his word, and you spend time with him, and you get stronger. Each time you fall, each time you fail, you go to him. Don't run away from him. Don't feel estranged from him. Go to him. Because he's already paid the price. And
I like
him.
That. The fact you keep on saying the rock makes me think about Peter, which reminds me of him denying Jesus and, you know, the mistakes that he made, but that had nothing to do with whether or not he was actually serving God. He just always turned it around and got right back on the path. I don't know exactly what kind of thing you're talking about, but I think you've always, in every moment, got the chance to choose back to the right. When you fall, like Josie just said, you don't just wallow around in it or let that get you further and further away. You just turn in that next moment back. Do you want to give us more details of what you're talking about, or does that answer your question?
Yeah, that about sums it up. I'd also, if my aunt's listening, like, one person that, lots of people in my family I'm thankful for, like, I'm thankful that my mom raised me, that my dad been in there for me when I needed him the most, and that sometimes even, my uncle is starting to change now, so I'm thankful for that. And if Aunt Rita's listening, I'm thankful that she's been in our lives for so long. And I'm just really thankful that God gave this her, because I wouldn't have got this far without her.
Aw, that's very sweet. I bet that makes her feel good, and I'm sure she feels exactly the same way about you. My favorite relationship in the world is aunt.
Yes. They're always there for you no matter what.
I love being an aunt. You love your nieces and nephews so much, and it's such an unconditional, wonderful relationship because it just is. That's just the way it is.
Well, she's just been such a big help since, you know, my wife passed away.
Man, it seemed like Preston's voice just changed suddenly overnight.
Maybe when I grow up.
She has, so she's just been a
inspiration to our lives.
She's just been like a...
like an angel from God.
If my son will let me talk, I'll tell you. she has just been there, you know, for us, you know, and when we needed her, you know. She's always been that spiritual support, you know, that we needed when Sheila passed away.
Yeah.
You know, and she has been there for us, and that has been such an inspiration to me.
Yeah,
and both
she's our
Preston
inspiration.
Both, you know, and she's really...
And we're blessed to have her in our life.
She's really blessed by God. I know that, you know, because she's always helping people, you know, in every way.
Yeah, and whether it's with money or with food or with problems at school or home, she's always there for you. She'll never let you down, no matter what.
And I know you guys have been praying for us, too.
We really thank you for that.
We appreciate that. And we love your program.
Yeah.
We love you guys. I'm so glad that you called in. I mean, I hate to call you out by name, and I didn't know which number is yours, but several times I think, I wish they would call and let us know how they're doing.
I know, Rita,
let us know how things
are
going.
That, you know, you guys mentioned Sheila on the program, you know, and I missed it. You know, I didn't really listen in that night, you know, but she did tell us that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate, you know, you mentioning her name, you know, and being so concerned, you know, about us and about her.
Yeah.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. We felt a really strong connection. I guess we're all connected through Sister Kaiser or something, but we always felt a strong connection to you guys.
She's also been a great friend to us.
You've just got all kinds of people to be thankful for, don't you, Preston?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
you're just surrounded on all sides.
We sure are.
A little puppy who aggravates us when he shakes the cone off his head when he's not supposed to.
Well, I'm going to close your microphone now. I'm going to remind Sister Kaiser again that she has
to
push twice. And the same thing will be true for y'all. If you think of something else you want to add, you have to press the button twice so that your hand will go down and then go back up. Thank you so much for calling. We love you guys.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye. All right, Josie, where are you?
Well, we
got 10 minutes left.
Story that I had heard, and it illustrates when people are living for God. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He never stops. That is his personality, to steal, to kill, to destroy. And he will attack. We're all humans. We all have seasons and times, and we stumble. I'm not talking about willful sin and willful choices against what we know is right. But this story was talking about, I think it was a true story, about a speedboat driver that was out in a race, and he had the boat flipped over, and when he went down into the water, he went down so deep that he couldn't tell which way was up. And he didn't know how to swim. He didn't know what to do because he didn't know which way was the surface. And he finally realized that he had a life jacket on, and he just stopped and he relaxed, and the life jacket brought him to the top. And when we lose our way, when we lose direction, if we'll just realize that we are clothed with the power of God, we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are his. And if we'll just lean on that and rest, he'll take us the right direction. He's on our side. That's the great story, is that God is on our side. And I've heard all my life the testimonies that have blessed me, I think, and encouraged me the most were ones where it would tell that over again. You know, bring that out in another illustration. I know one preacher said that he was he always had a picture of the Lord being like if you stepped on somebody's grass and they'd say, get off the grass. Or, you know, if you maybe did something to aggravate somebody and they yelled at you. But that's not true. God is on our side. He loves us. He will give us direction, and he will forgive us. And he's made provision so that we can be forgiven and live a victorious life. And I love the way that...
And if you go ahead and get on the grass, then you find out there was poison ivy there, then you've got that consequence to deal with, but it's not because he's mad or... if he told you not to get on the grass, it was for a reason.
That's so good. That is really good. So we can.
I think Sister Kaiser has something else to say. If she doesn't, she's going to be annoyed with me. Did you re-raise your hand, Sister Kaiser? Oh, no. Okay, go ahead, Mama. Sorry.
Well, we could go through the alphabet, but very quickly I would like to say that that was the thumb, which all things, you know, how you do anything, you need your thumb. So if you start off, smile at God, praise him for who he is, thank him for bringing you through the night, and then the next is your pointer. When you point, to use your finger and you point to something, well, point to five things that you're thankful for. I'm thankful that I can see. I'm thankful I can walk. I'm thankful for salvation. Thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for forgiveness. You know what? I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for your place, Blog Talk, radio, and you know.
Preston's thankful for the group of people around him. He's already there for the index finger one.
That's right.
He knows.
He came up
yeah.
in there, and you could feel that. And then the middle finger is longer than the rest of the fingers, and that's the hope that we have, the promises. There's thousands of them that we can go on with God. We can be victorious. We can do the things that God has called us to do. And then the other finger, which we don't wear rings, but if you would call that the wedding or the ring finger, that's the intimacy that we have with God. He's right here with us in every situation. And then the little finger, that's the one where you scratch your ear. we thank God that we have ears to hear, not just the outside ears, but the heart. And then I believe it's 10 different verses. There's several in Revelation that I thank God that I have an ear to hear. He said, he that hath an ear to hear, we are to know what God is saying today and to this generation and to us personally. Okay, go ahead, Joy.
What am I going to go ahead and do?
You can
back
go ahead
into the alphabet?
Yes.
All right. We might just do one from each alphabet because we've got 7 minutes left. Let's see. I'm going to do Comforter. When Jesus was about to complete the work he was sent by the Father to do, he promised his disciples that he would send the Comforter. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14, verse 16. Also, in verse 26, Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Sometimes some things happen to us as humans that no word spoken can give any comfort. However, when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, ministers to us, he gives us the peace of God that passeth all understanding.
That right
Comforter,
there.
That's a good one.
That is really good. And that scripture, it is a peace of God that passeth all understanding. It doesn't just mean that it's just hard to understand how we could have that kind of peace. It's a peace that even though our understanding says there's no way that this should even be happening, that we should
peace
have
in the midst of the storm, like what we're talking about. Yeah. Not peace because everything's perfect. Peace that passeth all understanding, because everything's not perfect, and someone might look at you and say, look at the horrible thing you're going through, and you do still feel pain.
Right.
But if you're focused on him, you have that peace in the midst of the pain. I'm going to do like Preston and his dad, not let you finish any of your sentences.
No, I interrupted you. You want to just read the, D is the deliverer, E is everlasting, F is
faithful. Oh, okay. F, faithful. You go for the next one.
G, he is great.
H, he is holy.
I, he is the great I am.
That's a good one. J, Jehovah.
K, he is the King of Kings.
L, loving.
M, he is marvelous.
N, new every morning.
Oh, I like that one. His blessings are new every morning. Okay, O, he is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Means he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and here and everywhere at the same time. Everywhere, present.
I'll take the next two. P, he's powerful. Q, he's quintessential.
I am so glad you took that one because I had never heard that word. Tell them what it is.
Well, I told you, anytime I've heard it, it's got a word behind it, like the quintessential actor or the quintessential. It means that you're the very best, the very top. You are the example that everyone else can follow. You define whatever it is that you're doing.
That is so good. R, he is Redeemer.
S, Savior.
He is the true God.
U, he is unequaled and unparalleled.
V, he is divine.
He is divine, and we are the branch.
That's right.
W, he's worthy.
Extremely gracious.
People always have to get creative on X. Y, Yahweh, you like that.
Yes. And Z, there's no word that starts with the letter Z, so it's Zion's King, and Z is the last, so he is the first and the last for sure. And on the third finger, the middle finger is for reminding us to go beyond ourselves in prayer also, not just to know there's future and God's got blessings, but pray that intercessory prayer. Pray for the people in Japan. Pray for our families. Pray for our neighbors. Be willing to spend time for those that need prayer. And God said he has set his love upon us. He will deliver us. He will set us on high. He will answer our prayers. He'll be with us and deliver us if we honor him. And that's maybe next week we can take each one of those, his delivering power and the way he exalts us in situations, and we'll read those scriptures, and I believe it'll be a blessing to everybody.
It sounds good. And then the week after that, we'll do D.L. Moody and the Peanut Guy and Amy Carmichael.
Okay, those
George
are
Washington
wonderful, Carver. Wonderful people that we can touch on their lives. And there's several books that you can get. One is about Amy Carmichael, is You Are My Hiding Place. And it's devotional readings, and they're arranged by David Hazard. And it's a very small but a very powerful book, if you can get that. You Are My Hiding Place.
All right. And we will be praying for all of you this week, and I hope that you will pray for us. Hope everybody enjoys their week. If you're on spring break, woohoo! A little less responsibility than usual. And my son and I have pretty much been in pajama mode, staying up late and sleeping late and just completely enjoying not having any kind of schedule to go on. But whatever's going on with you, I hope that you're blessed this week. We really appreciate you being here. While Bill, I thought, would call in, he may call in next week and let us know what's going on with his business venture. But in case you weren't here last week, I'll just say real quick that he is focusing on that, so he's asked Blog Talk Mom and I to fill in for the next 4 weeks. So two more weeks of us, and then he'll be back. Do you have anything to say in closing, Josie?
We miss Wild Bill tremendously. We love him very much, and pray for him that this business endeavor, he wants more time with his family and more time to be in the house of God. And God, all wealth comes from God.
That's right. All good comes from God. That's true. I love you and appreciate you being here and putting all of this together. And it's a huge benefit, as I've said before, to a lifetime of teaching. You've got so much material, and it's such a blessing.
Well, thank you. It wouldn't be anything without Joy Bells.
In this case, it almost wasn't anything with Joy Bells, but we had Kevin, so. Good night, everybody.
God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.